Good morning. Well, when Kevin found out that I was going to be here and I was preaching, he said, well, then you must play the bass as well, since that's what I used to do back in the day when I was here around. So it was a great time to be able to worship with you guys once again, not only with my voice like I tried to do last week, which isn't as great as my parents, but also with the gift that God's given me to play music somewhat. However, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but what I did want to talk about is a story from the gospel. And you have to forgive me because I'm not used to this ear thing. I don't know how you do with this, but if I keep messing with my ears, you know, I feel like it's falling off. I feel like I'm looking at it too. Is that like a gnat? There we go. All right. There's a couple of things that stuck out to me about the story from the gospel reading this morning. And one of those things is, have you ever received a gift that you truly weren't expecting or didn't deserve? And I think all of us have a moment in our life where we receive something that we knew we truly didn't deserve and that we weren't expecting. Now, I'm sure many of you are looking at me and looking at my wife and thinking, well, that was the time that Alan got something he didn't truly deserve and didn't expect.
Amen.
Amen, right? I know my parents thought that. However, you know, despite my lack of qualifications to be a husband and, you know, not on the same level as my wife, she still said yes, and she married me, even though I made a fool of myself with my father by singing a song to her to ask her to marry me. She still said yes, despite that, which, if I would have known her at the time better than when I asked her, if I would have known her now, like, I knew she hated that. Like, she hates attention. So she still said yes. So she saw something in me. So she was getting something in return. Not as much as I was getting, but she was still getting something. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So I'm not talking about that type of gift. Okay? I'm not talking about getting something that the other person receives back. It's something that you get, and the person giving it has absolutely nothing in return, gets nothing out of it. And I had an experience with that a few times over the years, and one of them was actually, well, after we got married in New York, we moved to Jacksonville for a year, and I was in school going to UNF. My wife was working as a phone operator. So you could imagine, we didn't have much money, you know. My wife was also got pregnant 3 months into our marriage. So on top of that, we had the expense of getting ready for a new child, my daughter Jocelyn. And that was, I can't believe, 14 years ago. And at some point during this time, we realized, oh man, there's a lot of stuff that we have to buy. And being teenagers or 20 in our 20s, early 20s, being in our early 20s, we weren't too good at, you know, budgeting our money. So, and despite the fact that we had little money, you know, all of a sudden we realized my wife is pregnant and she needs clothes that actually fit. She needs maternity clothes. And I was like, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to start using elastics on your jeans because we just don't have the money. You know, you have to get those hair ties out and wrap them around the button because we can't afford the $30, $40 maternity jeans right now. And would you know, we prayed about it, we talked about it, and all of a sudden, one day in our mailbox, we had a check made out the cash for like $200 or $250. And it blew our minds. Because we didn't deserve it. We weren't being, you know, really good with our money at the time, you know. I don't know. I still, to this day, was anonymous. I have no idea who gave us that $200. And it was something that was given to us. And the person didn't get anything back from us. And we didn't deserve it. But besides that, we knew that God blessed us, gave us something. And here we have the story of this woman, this Canaanite woman. And what you have to understand is this woman is at her rope's end. Her daughter is, if she feels, is possessed by a demon. and she's probably tried everything. And here she hears about this prophet Jesus, this Jewish man, coming into town. And so she goes and seeks him out. Now, what you have to remember is that in the culture of the day, a woman had no business, one, speaking to a man, unless she was spoken to, pretty much. And definitely not speaking to a teacher of the law. She shouldn't have approached him. Yet she was at her end. So she cried out to Jesus, Son of David. And being a Canaanite, she had no claim to say that. She wasn't even supposed to call him the Messiah, the Son of David. Because you have to remember that they were the enemy of Jerusalem. They're their enemies. And so here she's crying out to Jesus, and she's asking him to have mercy. Son of David, have mercy. And the disciples, being the good Jewish men they were, I think the disciples get a bad rap a lot of times because, you know, they seem dumb. And I'm sure if everyone wrote down everything you did and then looked at it 2,000 years later with the foreknowledge of what's to come at the end of your story, you'd be like, man, Father Allen was really dumb. You don't have to go 2,000 years back in my life, to kind of reflect on it and say, oh, you just talked to my wife. She'll let you know that I've done some dumb things. But the disciples get a bad rap in the gospel sometimes when we read it, because we're like, man, this woman has a demon-possessed child, and all she wants is for Jesus to heal her, right? And the disciples are like, no, get away, kind of like shooing her away, And the problem is they didn't have the vision. They didn't have the bigger picture that Jesus was trying to show them that's going to happen. And so Jesus is doing this. He's showing that his love isn't just for the elect few any longer, but he's opening it up to the Gentiles. And we read that in Isaiah today, a house of prayer for all nations. It wasn't just the Jewish nation in Isaiah. He was reaching out to all nations. And here Jesus is kind of reiterating that. And so during this time, Jesus wants to, try to feel out this woman and see what's going on with her, right? And here he says, it's not good to give the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, that sounds really harsh. And the reason it sounds really harsh is because it is really harsh. Okay? It is really harsh. Because, as a parent, I know there's some, I hope no, there's like no PETA people in here that are going to stone me after the service, But animals aren't people, right? I know I get in trouble if I say that sometimes, especially in New York. But animals aren't people. And so for instance, if I go to sit on a chair and there's a cat or a dog sitting there, I don't find another chair. You understand? I move the cat or I move the dog because I'm a human, okay? I am worth more than that animal. Amen. That doesn't mean I won't let the dog sit on my lap if I feel like it, But I say all that just to remind us that animals aren't humans. And so when Jesus said that and we read this, we're like, wow, he's calling her a dog, But you have to remember, he wasn't literally calling her a dog. We know that Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in analogies a lot. So he was, given a picture here, right? And so instead of her responding back to Jesus with an attitude, which I don't know if someone were, even if using an analogy, would refer to you as a dog, or especially as a woman, if they refer to you as a dog, what your attitude would be back to that person, right? But I am sure it would not be one of humility and of grace. However, that's the trait, that's the personality trait that this woman portrays, because she comes back to Jesus and said, but yet, even the dogs take the scraps off the master's table. You see, she was at her rope's end. She had nowhere else to go. So what did she do? She humbled herself and threw herself at the feet of Jesus. You see, that's what we are called to do. We can't let our pride get in the way. We can't let our history, our past, even of our forefathers get in the way. We have to come to Jesus and lay it all before him. Lay our pride, lay our judgments, lay it all at the feet of Jesus. Because he does want to give us good gifts. He wants to bestow his blessings upon us. But we have to recognize the things that are in our life that we need to lay before his feet before he can do that. And that's what this woman did. She had nothing. She had nothing left but to lay it before Jesus. And she came to him in humility. So are there times in our lives where we allow pride to get in the way of what Jesus wants to do for us? Or are there times where maybe we're like the disciples, where maybe God wants to bless someone else, and we end up standing in the way and trying to shoo them away because we don't try to see them in the eyes of Christ? That is the call on our lives. God wants us to be his light in the midst of darkness. He wants us to show his grace, his love, his mercy to the least, the lost, and the lonely. One of the saddest things I've ever read in a book was a book about millennials put out by the Barna Research Group. And when talking to millennials, you know, those born around 84 to, you know, 2000, they said the number one word to describe non-Christians describing Christians is judgmental. Judgmental. That hurts. You see, because a lot of times we walk around as the disciples, shooing people away from the incredible love and grace of God. But that's not the call God has placed upon us. You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross just for this elect few in here. He opened it up to all men and all women to receive his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. You see, not one of us in this room, including Father Scott, is worthy to receive God's grace, right? But you know what? Well, you see, you didn't know if I was talking about Father Scott, the lesser or the greater. You know, there are two Father Scotts in here. And by the way, greater and lesser just is a termination of saints by age, you know, so it has nothing to do with who's better. You see, none of us deserve God's grace. None of us deserve his mercy. But he calls us to walk in it so that we can be a light in the midst of darkness, not to keep for ourselves, not to boast, not to be proud, but to go and share that message. To show his love, to show his forgiveness. And I know sometimes the hardest people to forgive are the ones sitting next to you right now, but that's what God calls us to do, right? He calls us to love our neighbors. He calls us to love the people that we see at the coffee shop, to the barista that, you know, looks like she's all tatted up with earrings everywhere and stuff like that, you know, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Because God loves them. And he wants his love. He wants to bestow his gifts for them onto their lives. You see, one of my favorite lines, during the Eucharistic prayers, there's two lines in the Eucharistic prayers during communion that we say in New York. I don't know if you do the Eucharistic prayer too up down here too much, but there's one that says, as we receive the body and blood of Jesus, may we be transformed to become the body of Christ to the world. That's the call on our lives as Christians. Christians. And then a little later on, we say, we are not worthy to receive you, right? But only say the word and we shall be healed. You see, none of us are worthy, but by his grace, he has shown his mercy and his love to us. So may God give us the wisdom. May God give us the humility to lay down our own agendas for our lives, for our friends' lives, for our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, to see what God has for them, to see them in God's eyes. And as we receive the body and blood of Jesus, may we be transformed this day as we leave this place to be the body of Christ to the world. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.